And after that, we will sing Psalter 57. So Luke 2, 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men." Peace and goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Our text this morning, Congregation of the Lord, let me begin this Christmas message with a simple question which is meant to be answered honestly before God. Is there room for Jesus this Christmas? Is there room with Jesus for you this Christmas? Now, this is a legitimate question to ask in this day and age. We would like to believe that Christmas draws us closer to God. But in actual fact, in many cases, Christmas actually draws people away from God. For many people, also this Christmas season has been filled with rushing, hurrying, and milling around in the department stores. Besides that, there are the preparations for family gatherings, more cooking, more baking, extra meals, which often falls on the women's shoulders. Then there are the gatherings to attend to, perhaps a concert or some society gatherings, an office or a sharp party or a neighborhood get-together. And before you know it, Christmas has come and gone. Our hearts and our thoughts have been so occupied with the things that needed to be done and that needed to be attended to that we simply left no room for Jesus. But on this Christmas day, God has brought us to church to have us quietly listen to his word. And to reflect on this question, is there room for Jesus this Christmas? You see, there was no room for Jesus in the inn of Bethlehem on that first Christmas day. And this is what our Christmas text tells us, that this is what I wish to explore with you on this hour. And we wish to do this by the following headings and points. There was no room for Jesus on Christmas. First point is a sad reality. Second, a fulfilled prophecy. And third, a necessary reminder. Congregation, it was no doubt a difficult trip for Joseph and Mary to come all the way from Nazareth in the north part of the country to Bethlehem, which is a trip of about 190 kilometers, which is roughly the distance from Chilliwack to West Vancouver and back again. Now, we can make this trip by car in about 2.5 hours or perhaps a bit more. But the trip for Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem on foot or perhaps by donkey may well have taken a good 3 days. This trip was more difficult yet for Mary, because she was getting close to the due date of her pregnancy. And as you will understand, those were not the best of times to travel long distances by any means. But finally they arrived in Bethlehem, and no doubt they were sore and they were very tired. And I'm sure that nothing would have been more pleasing to Mary than to get some privacy, a quiet room, a comfortable bed, and in some motel or some inn in order to rest her weary bones. But this was not to be. We are told in our text that there was no room for them in the inn. Now, this was no coincidence, for as you know, Mary was carrying no ordinary child, but the Son of God, whom they would have to call Jesus or Savior once he was born. And as you know, if the powers of evil could do anything to prevent this birth, or to make his birth as uncomfortable and risky as possible, they would do so. And so it was not surprising that when Joseph and Mary inquired about some room in the inn of Bethlehem, they were told that there was no room for them. And by implication, there was no room for Jesus. God's word wants us to know this, that by manipulation of evil forces, there is no room for Jesus. And this happened at that time, but this could still happen today. Now let's explore this sad reality for a moment. No doubt one reason why there was no room for Jesus was ignorance. I don't think the innkeeper knew that the baby to be born of Mary was the Son of God. Mary and Joseph certainly knew. The shepherds, the wise men, Anna and Simeon in the temple, and Elizabeth, they knew. But the innkeeper did not know. And it goes to show that ignorance, a lack of basic biblical knowledge, can create a situation where there is no room for Jesus. Those who have not heard the word of the gospel obviously have no room for Jesus. They're in a sad state, and it should stir us up in pity for them. But you and I can never plead that excuse. If you have no room for Jesus, it's not because of ignorance. Another possible reason that there was no room for Jesus was indifference. Imagine the innkeeper for a moment, as these two weary travelers stand there at the door of his inn. Obviously, the woman is pregnant and in the later stages of her pregnancy. But he tells them that there is no room for them in the inn. He does not seem to care if the woman gives birth in the street or in a field or even in a stable. He is indifferent to the situation that has been brought to his attention. He simply has no concern. This might also be the reason why some people also have no room for Jesus. They are indifferent. They have no concerns whatsoever. They are not ignorant of the gospel. They could even be church-going and religious and all of that. But they are indifferent to the situation that is presented to them. And the message of Jesus just leaves them neither hot nor cold. And the word of the gospel does not move them. And their conscience does not stir. And they have no concern at all for their spiritual well-being. My friends, examine yourselves. Is indifference perhaps the reason why there is no room for Jesus with you? Or perhaps there was no room for them because the innkeeper was simply too involved. He was so busy at this season, he just didn't have any time. You must remember that this was tax season. And according to the decree of Caesar Augustus, everyone in the Roman Empire had to return to their place of birth in order to be registered for taxes. Now this brought in many travelers from far and wide. And this was good for the innkeeper. His rooms were being filled with guests, and his purse was being filled with gold. He could not let such an opportunity pass by, could he? Well, with all the busyness of the season, he got himself involved all right, but too involved to have any room for Jesus. He had so many things to look after, so many rooms to make ready, so many rooms to prepare, and so many guests to come, and so many guests to welcome. He was so busy during all of those things that he had no room for Jesus. This too can still happen today, that we are so involved in the things that we have to do that we have no room for Jesus. We are particularly vulnerable to this thing during the Christmas season. The season has evolved to make us too involved. As I said in my introduction, for many people, the Christmas season is a season that is filled with rushing, hurrying, and milling around in the department stores. There's the preparation for family gatherings, more cooking, more baking, extra meals. There are the gatherings to attend to, and you can't really excuse yourself from any of them, because what will people say? But it ends up being involved, and so involved that you have no room for Jesus. Dear people, we must watch ourselves for this. It is easy to become too involved. The season just lends itself to it. And perhaps you are even legitimately involved, because certain things just have to be done. But nevertheless, you're too involved, and that leaves you no room for Jesus. Biblical Christmas is meant to draw us closer to God. But the world has altered our biblical Christmas, hasn't it? In most cases, such a Christmas actually draws us away from God. It forces us to become too involved. And we have to ask ourselves, is there room for Jesus this Christmas? On that day, some 2,000 years ago, at the Inn of Bethlehem, there was no room for Jesus. But it was not by accident that all of this happened. It was prophesied in the Bible. And so I would like to speak in the second place about a fulfilled prophecy. Did God know that this would happen? Did he know that people, both religious and irreligious people, would have no room for Jesus? Was God aware that people of all stripes would respond negatively to Jesus and to his coming, to Jesus and to his message? Indeed, God knew, and he was fully aware of it. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And in John 1, we read in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And in verses 10 and 11, we read, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. In other words, it was prophetically declared that Jesus would not be welcomed or received or given room. God knew this would happen, and Jesus knew it. He once said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. In Matthew 8, verse 20. Jesus was well aware that people would have no room for him. It was fulfilled prophecy for him. And it continues to be fulfilled today. There is still little room for Jesus, even if a resemblance of Christmas is maintained. And as you may know, there is a movement that does not want to call the days surrounding Jesus' birthday Christmas holidays anymore. Instead, some people are pushing for calling it winter break in order to celebrate the winter solstice. The Christmas tree is on its way to be called a festive tree. Traditional Christmas carols are being phased out. And the only so-called sanitized or seasonal songs are being recommended for public use. Therefore, dreaming of a white Christmas is still all right. But Away in a Manger is out. Jingle Bells is fine, but O Come All Ye Faithful is banned. The Christ child is no longer the favorite person of the season. He has been replaced by characters such as Santa Claus or the reindeer Rudolph, and an animated version of a pathetic figure named Frosty the Snowman, who brings children to tears when he melts in the sun. Is the prophecy not being fulfilled that there is no room for Jesus in our world today? Could it be that we are so busy fulfilling this prophecy that perhaps not because we are ignorant of Jesus, but because we have become indifferent or unconcerned or overly involved? Christmas is supposed to be a happy time of year because we celebrate the birth of the Son of God, who was conceived in the womb of a virgin, born of a young woman by the name of Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, and sheltered by a stable. Christmas is supposed to be a time of rejoicing, because we may celebrate that Jesus has come into this world of sin. He has entered into our flesh corrupted by sin, and has taken our life that is shrouded in misery, and he now commands us to give him our heart. How sad it is when we have no room for Jesus. And again, it is prophecy fulfilling because Jesus was not only given no room in the inn, but shortly after his birth, there was no room in the land for him. And he had to flee with Joseph and Mary to go to Egypt. And at long last, there was also no room for him on the earth anymore. And he was hung up on a tree between heaven and earth, as the Apostle Peter says it. And there came a time in his life when earth had rejected him and heaven was closed to him. That awful moment when he hung on the cross during 3 hours of absolute physical and spiritual darkness. But dear people, all this was fulfilled prophecy because Jesus would have it this way. And why would Jesus have it this way? That it would have to be said in our text that there was no room for them in the inn? As a necessary reminder. And let me speak in this in the last place. They were given no room in the inn, because according to God's plan, Jesus would be born in a stable. And why would he have to be born in a stable? For the same reason for having no place to call home when he grew up. He had no place to lay his head, so that he could be approached to the poorest of the poor, sympathetic to the weak and the helpless and the outcast. Jesus was given no room in the inn, so that he would have to be born in a stable, in order that poor shepherds would feel comfortable with him, and a lonely Simeon and an old Anna could find consolation with him. He would have to be born in a stable, so that in later years, poor and learned fishermen would have no qualms about becoming his disciples. And so that sinners like Mary Magdalene and Levi the tax collector and the woman who was caught in adultery could find the word of forgiveness with him. My friend, there's no room for Jesus in the inn. And there's no room for Jesus in this world. Many people are ignorant about him and want to stay ignorant about him, preferring to feed their ignorance with characters like Santa Claus and Frosty and perhaps some mythological figure called the Grinch. Many people are indifferent about Jesus because there is so much in the world that excites them and that inflames their passions. Many people have no room for Jesus because they are so involved. They are too busy, and the world demands their attention, and their business demands their attention, and their bank account demands their attention. But all this is a necessary reminder that this should not be the case with us. Our Christmas Day text, "There was no room for them in the inn," is a necessary reminder that there must be room for Jesus in your heart. No room in the inn meant distress for Mary. But Mary was given strength to give birth in a stable. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. These words spell poverty. But let this remind you that Jesus became poor for a good reason. The Apostle Paul explains this well in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, where it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he, through his poverty, might be rich." And therefore I ask you again, is there room for Jesus with you this Christmas? The world has had its door closed to Jesus, or is busy closing its door on Jesus. How sad and sorry a state you are in, if it would have to be said of you or by you, no room for Jesus. By way of application, I must ask, what about you and me? Do you have room for Jesus? It may mean, of course, that room has to be made for him. Some guests will have to be sent packing and be turned away. And I'll leave it with you to know which those guests are. I can tell you that Jesus does not want to share room with such characters as Mr. Ignorance or Mr. Indifference or Mr. Too Involved. They will have to go to make room for Jesus. I may also tell you that you do not have to worry about the poor condition of your heart. By no means should you do a whitewash job on it or decorate it in any way before the Lord makes his entrance. Remember, Jesus was quite pleased to be born in a stable. And I can hardly imagine that this stable was quickly whitewashed or decorated before Mary gave birth. Likewise, Jesus is quite pleased to enter into your heart as long as it's open to receive him. And how may your heart be open for Jesus? By letting him see what is in there, without hiding anything from him. The stable where Jesus was born was no closed shop, but it was an open place, so that the person who came by could readily see what was in it. Allow me to make some spiritual sense of the application that's just been made. As I said, some guests will have to be sent packing and turned away. In other words, sins, bosom sins, will have to be given an eviction notice. They will have to be confessed, repented of, and left. You cannot have Jesus and have your bosom sins too. Also, you heard that you do not have to worry about the poor condition of your heart. Certainly, you must not try to make it look better than what it is. Do not do a spiritual whitewash on it. Nothing you can do will make it look better. You could express sorrow about its poor condition, but better yet, tell Jesus of its poor condition. Admit the shabbiness of it, and let him know, as if he doesn't know already, that your sin has put it in such a condition. Also, as I said already, make sure your heart is open to Jesus. By this I mean that your heart and your life should be as transparent as possible. Do not try to hide anything from him. It will not work. No doubt it will be helpful to pray with the author of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, which says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Remember, in Bible times, people could readily see what was in a stable. My friend, let your heart be like such a stable, open and transparent, so that as Jesus looks into your heart, he can readily see what is in it. And as the gospel has brought him close, and the light of his presence falls upon your heart, cry out and pray, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And let me close and ask you this question. Have you any room for Jesus this Christmas? Amen.